The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk. Winners and sinners. On The Hard Shoulder.
Yes, Saoirse Handy is with me, the features writer with the Irish Independent, and Ger Gilroy from Off the Ball, picking winners and sinners from the week gone by. Are you going to the NFL during this weekend?
I am going to the game on Sunday.
You excited?
I am actually excited about it, yeah.
You're an NFL fan, though.
I am. You see, I have been an NFL fan for many, many years. And so I just like the sport, and I realise that, you know, the military-industrial complex aspect of this story, which has gripped the nation over the last while. I'm like, yeah, okay, but I'm still going to the game. As the fighter jets fly over,
will there be a flyover?
I think they've probably cancelled all that stuff.
Okay.
It used to be that, like, so Navy played whoever a couple of years ago.
Notre Dame.
They played Army.
Was it? I can't remember. Anyway,
and there was like the stealth bombers and the F-16s, and you're like, whoa, that's amazing. And they've changed that now. It's an Aer Lingus plane that kind of jauntily flies over the Park Classic. Well, they're the ones in August for the college football.
So this is the commercial aviation industrial complex.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, you know, climate change and all that. But people seem to have less of a problem with that.
Yeah.
But I suspect they'll tone it down.
When they were here the last time for that, so they had those, their Ospreys, their type of bird, but it's also a type of helicopter that they have. And they had them obviously in casement. And I remember I was driving out of Dublin, and three of them came flying over them. And they're these huge, big helicopters that have, they've got dual rotors on top, and they rotate, you know, so they kind of can fly like a plane or like a helicopter. And the whole N7 shook with the three of these going over. Blah, 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 blah. And like, you can see why they do it.
Yeah.
You get like, even though you know that this is all a big, massive recruitment campaign that they've been running for years, and a kind of a whitewashing campaign, all of the reasons that they've intertwined themselves with not just the NFL, but sport in general, you're still in the moment. You go, whoa, that's kind of cool. You know, you do.
They can tell me anything. I just get caught up. Bring a brass band anywhere and I'm going to be in on it.
Oh,
I'm going to say about the game itself.
They have M16s over their shoulder. You don't care.
If there's drums happening, it's grand. But my question about the game is, I've only ever seen one, and it was college football when I was in Canada, and I just thought it was the most... Why are we stopping every time the ball gets dropped? Why is it 4 hours long?
Jeez. I'm with Saoirse now.
See, it does take a little while to tune into the vagaries of that. It's the resetting of the chessboard every time, and so everybody gets to go again.
Do you not find it a little frustrating?
It's sport for people who like spreadsheets. That's what it is. You know what I mean?
Very violent.
The Excel of American sporting.
They use violence and chess to make it seem like it's kind of base and cerebral at the same time. But it's kind of spreadsheets made
now
manifest.
Now I get the cheerleaders thing. And yeah, okay. Now I'm with
you. That's what
and
it is.
And sorry, the drinking in your seats thing, which is obviously...
Yeah, so you're a fan of this.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
Yeah, you're a fan of just drinking anywhere.
I mean,
we should just
on.
Be get on the record.
Schools, crashes,
yeah.
Whatever.
Exactly, yeah. It's PC gone mad,
yeah,
isn't
exactly.
It? This for the nanny state nonsense.
I was trying to establish if whether or not at the URC final you could drink for the other rugby games you have not been allowed to drink recently. They kind of made a all-in rule, but now they're like, hey, the Yanks are in town.
So sorry, Munster and Leinster are playing in Croker again in October. They played last year and you couldn't drink.
As far as I know, you can't, no.
Okay.
Obviously, you can drink right up to the bit where you go down to your seats. Now, I mean... At Oasis, we were all drinking our seats. I'm not sure we were supposed to be. Were we?
I was drinking in my seat at Oasis. Was I supposed to be doing that?
I'm not sure. Maybe you weren't supposed to be.
Maybe. In that case, I wasn't actually.
For shame.
I wasn't. Who were you looking to win? Are you a Steelers or Vikings fan?
Oh, no, I'm a 49ers fan. So
neither.
I think it'd be good if the Steelers won, because they've kind of activated their fan base in Ireland really well. And they'll come back, I think. There seems to be a sense that... this has had more Americans coming to the game than any of the other international games they've ever had.
Wow.
So it's going to sound and feel the most authentic of the games they've played in London. Like, they've had very bad teams playing in London, like the Jaguars, who never win. Whereas in this instance, there seems to be loads of people have come. There are direct flights, pretty easy to get into. That seems to have helped. And I suspect that there's going to be many more to come. So
the criticism from some, you know, that... I think I saw Kieran Cunningham online, you know, talking about the profits of these two as kind of businesses last year being over $1 billion combined. And why is the Irish state spending any money to bring them here? It's worth it. There is a genuine tourist payback.
Yeah, I mean, like, I do understand that logic in some ways, but if that was the case, we'd never spend money on anything. Like, why would we? Google are the richest company in the world. Why do we incentivize them with lower tax rates to come here and create employment and increase our tax base? Like, that's like a, it's a very singular way of looking at the economics of something like this. I think it generally benefits the Exchequer to have.
Yeah.
And, you know, in September, our hotel rooms are full. I mean, maybe at this point, given the housing crisis, the hotel rooms are always full. I don't know, but certainly having another 40,000 Americans traveling around the country, like it does, they don't just come to Dublin for the one game and then fly back to America. They come, they spend the week, they plan it for a year. So on balance, I think.
Before we move on then from this, because just to go back to the military intersection with the NFL, it's not just the NFL, it's sport. For the people who pay no attention to this, where did that come from? Why did they do it? And it's not like it's, you see it at baseball, you see it at ice hockey, you see it weirdly at golf. It's a kind of Veterans Day weekend where they've got soldiers taking the flag out of the hole for them and these US golfers salute them.
I suppose because it must work. There must be a return on the investment. Mm. Like, we are about to vote in one of our three presidential election guys is from the Irish Army background, or the Navy, or the Air Force.
Air Corps. It's going to be rebranded the Air Force.
Is it?
Yeah, it's part of the
modernization.
Kind of the modernization of the Defence Forces. It's going to be the Navy and the Air Force. As opposed to the Irish Naval Service and Air Corps. There you go.
Like, it wasn't Captain America. Like, recruitment tools for the military, you try and find places where young men congregate.
Captain America fought the Nazis. What are you talking about? That's why he exists. You know?
Was he not raising bombs?
Do not watch those documentaries. They came out a few years ago.
No.
Anyway, so
I will say I was in the States recently with three vets, as in like animal vets. Oh. And it caused so much confusion the whole time because we kept talking about the buzz being vets, and then we had to be like, wait, at one point two of them stood up accidentally for like a veterans clap. Funny enough, not because they thought it was for vets, but because they just didn't hear properly and everyone in the room thought they were veterans.
And they stood up and they got a clap. Wow. Yeah,
they kind of said this whole thing, like, we're bringing the house lights up, we're going to honour our vets in the room. Everybody, we had a few drinks on board as well at this point.
Where were you that they didn't stop to think, oh, this is a bit weird?
Well,
that
we were at a concert, like, and it was like, it was at the in Nashville in the Grand Ole Opry, the kind of historic country gaff.
And they didn't stop to think, I wonder why maybe they call kind of, farmers. I guess farmers, yeah, no, maybe farmers really appreciate their vets.
There's a lot of confusion. We kept saying like, oh, you know, because people would say, you know, what do you guys do? And we'd be like, oh, these guys are vets. And we'd have to be like, animal vets, because why would some 3 28-year-olds have been retired vets. Veterans at this
Brilliant.
Point?
Well... Anyway.
In early, out early.
Yeah, that's what they say. So anyway, that's your winner of the week. That whole branding exercise that's happening around Brand Ireland.
I do think it's worth it. I think that like there's always a cost to these things which comes from one area of the Exchequer and then another area benefits, and you kind of have to think it through, and it seems to be on balance pretty good for...
Great buzz too.
Your winner is the time of
the
year.
Autumn. Are we all feeling autumnal?
Not at the moment, not because not to give people too much of a peek behind the curtain, but the aircon's broken in Newstalk, so it's about 40 degrees.
Yeah. It doesn't feel like autumn in here. It actually
but outside.
Outside in the world, I was just in Tiger and they had all these like Halloween-y, pumpkin-y things you don't actually need ever, but every year you think, oh, I'm going to put that in the little doorway, that'll be lovely. But I'm just really leaning into it being, I know it's end of September, I guess. October is more so the time. Anybody who has ever gotten their nails done will know, you guys won't know. A friend of mine got her first maroon set of nails for the year.
Wow.
That's a big deal.
It's very presumptive of you there.
Yeah.
To say that myself and Jer wouldn't know that.
What colour would you say is the black, would you say maroon colour? Black for this season.
Okay, yeah.
This
season. No, it's a bit early for that.
Okay,
isn't it
is a little bit early for that.
You
want to
go orange Halloween, right?
Absolutely.
Burnt orange.
I didn't think
you were
so gender normative.
I'm so sorry, guys. It's just, you know.
Disappointed in you, actually.
I got my nails done last week. Neither of you noticed. It's fine.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, well, we're gender normative that way.
Well, I actually held off on the maroon till next time. But all that to say, leaning into the autumn has been so fun. I made a crumble the other day. This wasn't actually initiated by me. My boyfriend had obviously seen too many TikToks about Gilmore Girls, and he was like, should we watch Gilmore Girls? And I was like,
sorry, your boyfriend suggested it.
Yes, he did.
Wow.
Yep. And I said, perfect, let's get married immediately. So, I mean, I've already rewatched it twice, but we're rewatching it again, and it's very interesting to see through someone else's eyes.
And what does he think of it, Gilmore Girls?
He thinks that it can't possibly have been written by the amount of women it was written by because of how things turn out for some of our characters. No spoilers for a show that ended a long time ago. He's really Team Jess. Don't know if you guys have a preference. I'm team Low. I'm a Logan girl myself. He's very team Jess. Jess is a bad boy though, so I'm not about
Jess
it.
Oh, Jess a boy.
Jess is a boy. Jess is Rory's second boyfriend, and he's a fan favourite, but not one of mine. So I'll be letting my boyfriend know that he
has
changed opinion.
How did he get on climbing to the UK's most northerly pub?
Yes, fantastic.
Did it turn out it was just the highest pub and not the most northerly?
It's quite possible. It's called the Old Forge, and it's kind of, there's this really, really tiny community called Noidart, and they all like exist around the tourism of this tiny pub, basically. But that's actually doing the disservice. He also came back with like coffee from the local roastery, but there's like 100 people live there. It's crazy. Anyway, he got on really well. I thought he was dead for 2 days. Because
no signal.
I heard from him on Friday morning and then not again till Sunday night. So I was ready for my life as a widow all weekend. Not married, but I may as well be. So that was...
Just Gilmore Girls wall to wall.
Just. And then I couldn't even watch Gilmore Girls to comfort myself because I've already seen it. So I have to wait till he catches up. So, but fantastic. He really recommended it. Lots of boggy, muddy water. The things he was describing sounded kind of awful, but he loved it. So,
all right.
I'm told we're doing it next year. I'll be there, so hopefully I come back alive.
Excellent. Sure, who's your sinner of the week?
Oh, it has to be the UK justice system, right? Well, it's funny that's your reaction, because there was a Vox Pop on Lunchtime Live, and then they played a clip of it again, so I heard it twice on the Lunchtime News, and it was an Irishman who was like, I've been here since the 1970s, and I just came to protest, because we've seen this justice system, we've seen this video before, and I was like...
That's the guy who Kneecap Hill. He put a sign up. I'm on Kneecap Hill outside. Yeah, to watch it, like Henman Hill.
Well,
I guess.
I was like, I mean, this stuff, you don't have to scratch too deep. And it's like, actually, you know what? He's right. He's got a point. Anyway, I'm delighted for them. And like, here's the thing, right?
Yeah, go on.
What has happened since the British government, separation of powers, of course, so nothing to do with the government. What has happened since the police force have decided that we're going to prosecute on the basis of this? Nika's popularity has surged.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it didn't work.
I mean, it's like...
You know, I wouldn't say it's a conspiracy theory. There's an argument I've heard made that the police are actively pursuing these investigations because they themselves find them a waste of time.
Right.
And they want them to get loads of attention and they want the law to be changed. You know what I mean?
Look, that'd be a sentient police force that was capable of doing that, and if there is any evidence that that exists in the UK, I'd be all ears for that.
Do you think then their justice system is a projection of the deeply held views that exist within British society about other societies and other cultures?
I think it's a mad place at the moment, and I think it has been amazingly so quickly hijacked by lunacy when you see what reform are capable of doing from nothing.
Sorry, reform. There was an opinion poll today. If the general election was held today, reform would win 311 seats.
What are they doing?
Yeah.
So how quickly that has happened and how easy it is. And I can't remember who recently was talking about all of the language that's being used about Muslims in England at the moment. It might have been Bob Geldof. And he was like, exactly the same tropes. Somebody had a video up, a Vox Pop about the Irish. Like, well, a bit smelly, aren't they? And, a bit too religious for my liking. I think they should all go home. Yeah. And it was like...
Fair.
Exactly.
And so you just,
it, and I think like everybody's like, well, why do the Irish care so much about Palestine? It's like, well, we have seen this before.
We are familiar.
We do know what the crack is with it. I do just think that like if England just taught their kids some history, like just teach them the 1916 Rising, and they strapped the poor man to a chair and they shot him dead. And the people did not like that. They thought that was a little bit unfair. And as a result, they rallied behind them. And suddenly a new movement was born.
Because of reform, though, they're all, the other parties are like eating themselves to not be outflanked by them instead of just confronting them. And an example of that brings us back to this point about 1916. Not only will they not do it, the shadow justice secretary or secretary of state for justice, however they describe them, is Robert Jenrick, who went for the Tory party leadership. And he... a few months ago wrote a piece, a column for the paper, saying that our former colonies should be thanking us for the legacy we left them.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so this is the prevailing view of the establishment. Not only, Like, it couldn't be further from maybe we should teach kids about what happened in 1916. It's actually, why not the bloody Irish thank us for the administration system that we left behind? That's kind of what the whole article came down to, was like one paragraph on, yes, look, and slavery and the Mau Maus and bad concentration camps. Yeah, okay, I get it, all right? but I mean, we were really good at admin. Yeah. And so they kept that system afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah, you know? Any of my British friends, like, it has been the most eye-opening experience to talk to them at all. I think for both of us to be like, we'll make a joke about it and they'll be like, what are you talking about? And we're like, what are we talking about? Sit down. We'll tell you what we're talking about. Like, one of my best friends, Alex, can't get away with anything. When we used to live together, he'd always be like, can I borrow your pan? And I'd be like, oh, you want to take one of my pans? That sounds about right. That sounds very British of you. And he'd be like, what are you talking about? And we'd be like, well, 800 years to work off. And he'd be like, 800 years of what? And we'd be like, okay. And he never asked again. She still has to put up with it. But like, they don't know it. He literally never learned that.
But is it the most, I'm really get annoyed by this, but the most annoying aspect of British politics is, our feature of it is the Labour Party. It's Keir Starmer. Like, the Conservatives have been eating themselves alive about kind of the right wingers within their own party for years, for actually decades now. But Keir Starmer has basically in government said, actually, you know what, reform are right. It is all those men on dinghies landing in Dover. That's the problem. Like, once you say that, you're like, why vote for the Labour Party again? Said, the guy over there, our opponent, actually, I kind of agree with him on this, but still you should vote for me. Like, if you're a kind of swing voter, you're going to say, well, sorry, I'll just vote for him. So
yeah,
you've just legitimised his view.
And anyone who would have been more strongly left-leaning on your side is now completely gone, well, you're not getting my vote ever again.
And just mental, sorry, I'm going to keep going now. What, like, Starmer, it was so allergic to the idea of a second referendum, which I get, but he's gone to such a degree that he won't acknowledge that Brexit actually happened. So he will not just stand up and say, sorry, the reason the migration went through the roof is Brexit. And just acknowledge it, just say it. He's terrified that there'll be a call then for a second referendum. And so he just won't say it, that this is what Nigel Farage wanted.
Yeah, I don't know why they're so scared of the second referendum, or even just like, you know, we might at some point in the future have to have one of these. The same way that there's supposed to be a border poll, there's no date for it. No one thinks it's about to happen. You just say, well, look, maybe at some point in the future we might need to revisit that if the will of the people changes. But we can see the negative impact it's had. Like,
But he just never talks about it. He never acknowledges it.
Mm-hmm. I don't know why, because it's such a winning argument.
Oh, okay, anyway, he drives me mad. Anyway, Farage will be prime minister and they'll have to live with that. Anyway, that's a worthy sinner of the week. Who's your sinner of the week, Saoirse?
Me, you and you, everyone in this room, because we're all still here. Apparently there was a rapture this week. Don't know if you were aware of that.
I missed it.
Well, yeah, because we're all still here. So clearly we're all sinners and we've all not made it.
Are we? This could be like a lost situation. This could
basically
be purgatory.
Absolutely.
And the leftovers? That was the other one?
Oh, yeah. So, well, we've all been. So I think we have to start maybe redesigning society, thinking what we want to do next. But according to a lot of people on TikTok, which apparently came from some pastor somewhere in the world and it really took off, there was a theory that this week the rapture was going to happen and all good Christians were going to go off and be, I don't know what happens when you get raptured. You get taken up and away to heaven.
Raptured, I guess you go to heaven. Or does the kingdom of heaven descend onto earth?
So then what happens to the rest of us? Are we in hell? It is warm in here. Are we in hell?
Yeah, we are.
Wow, actually, sorry. Oh, that's what it is, yeah.
They had this whole spiel about aircon. We've actually all just died and gone to hell. But apparently the rapture is said to be a prophecy foretelling that faithful Christians will rise into the clouds to meet Jesus, leaving non-believers behind to face catastrophic trials, including plagues, fire and chaos. Now, I'd argue the last few years have contained a lot of the three.
Sorry, I'm just going to say, you are claiming that hadn't happened.
Well, I don't know.
But we wouldn't be in it anyway. Well, we wouldn't qualify as God-fearing Christians, I don't think, any of
that we were all too entirely religious over here.
Yeah.
So maybe we've all ascended.
What I'm just saying is that maybe there was a rapture. And maybe Christ looked down from those clouds above, and maybe there was only about like a handful of people who qualified. And we actually haven't known. They've actually gone missing this week.
Like, this
That's
is
where
the
they
worst
are.
Party
and
ever.
We really are. The rest of us are damned.
Yeah.
And this is it. Eternal damnation. Anyway, so the fact that we haven't been raptured is your sinner of the week.
The sinner of the week is actually all of us because we've not been raptured.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So,
fair enough.
This, you got to do better for the next one.
We got to do better for the next rapture. Well, they're like the 46A, you know. You wait around, two come along at once. I'm sure of it. Saoirse, you're going to stay with me. We'll be back after this quick break with the last bit of the show.
Ignition sequence start.
This is the last bit of the show.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Yes, Ger Gilroy and Saoirse Hanley both still with me. Ger, you weren't put out by these cyber attacks on aeroplanes, were you?
No, various family members have been traversing and finding difficulties. But I guess this is kind of following on a little bit from Saoirse's one just there. It just feels like the start of a sci-fi movie, you know? It's like, oh, suddenly like there's like a little hacker sitting in a room, other hackers sitting in other rooms, and suddenly the planes can't fly. And there's people outside the airports.
It's very Mission Impossible.
Yeah, it's like, what are you all, outside there? That was like a suspect device.
Yeah.
But like, you know, you still have to apparently go to the gate to drop your bag off.
Yes.
And you can just about log in online, check in online, and it's not fully perfect just yet, but how interconnected everything was so quickly.
Yeah.
It's just like
it does undermine a little bit this argument that we should all be going to complete digital only, that they won't accept paper boarding passes in the not too distant future.
It does.
Is that next month? November, Ryanair going to say no paper boarding passes.
Just as they're like, hey, you can bring 2 litres of booze.
I know.
Yeah.
Essentially, to start again, go back to the beginning, it's booze. You know, like, I have a giant thing of moisturiser. No.
I'm astounded that wasn't your winner of the week, to be honest with you. That shoulder of vodka I can never bring on the plane with me.
Thank God.
Do you worry that we're going to see much more of this?
Well,
it's the obvious route of attack if you want to undermine society.
Well, exactly. If you were successful at this, I mean, I presume if this is successful, they've been trying loads of other things in loads of other places, like the stock markets, and not to give them ideas here, but you know, my playbook would be, digital money, digital travel, anything that causes mass disruption. Is it two kids in a bedroom? Is it a government somewhere? Is it government funded? Is it two kids funded by a government? It's hard to know.
It's frustrating because the length of time it takes to get back to normal in these things. Like, I remember shopping in Marks and Spencer's like weeks after they had that cyber attack, and I was just picking up something from the food. I think it was like Percy Pigs or something, and whatever it was wouldn't scan. When I went up to talk to the woman to get it scanned at the self-scanner, she was like, yeah, this is just, it's still just a leftover from the attack. We're just still catching up. That was weeks after.
Yeah.
And that was just like Percy Pigs, not international plane flight.
Is there a small part of you that would like to live in a world where they just turned off all these things?
Like COVID, you mean?
Where the internet got turned off.
Yeah. Back to analog exclusive FM broadcasts.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Quids in. Yeah, give us your advertising money.
If my phone wasn't working, grand. If I couldn't access the internet, I'd get over it. But I would still like to travel places, I think.
Yeah, but it was possible to travel before the internet existed.
Well, this is true. I thought we all ran on Wi-Fi now. I thought that's how the planes lifted off the air. Connected to the skies.
Apple TV, speaking of the internet.
Yes, they could have been both a winner or a sinner.
Explain why.
So they would have been my winner because Slow Horses came back.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you guys
haven't seen the new season yet.
New episode, actually very tangential to the conversation about the government in the UK and things like the far right. So that's all very topical for this season so far. But the first episode of the new season, season 5, came out, and it hasn't been that long since season 4, which is always exciting when something comes back very soon. So very exciting, very good. As usual, excellent writing, cast great. Love you, Jack Lowden and Gary Oldman. Fantastic. So I was all excited, ready to go, really glad that I kept paying my subscription that I keep forgetting about every month, but now it feels worth it. But at the same time, they could have been a sinner because the Apple TV just pulled The Savant, which is due to come out today with Jessica Chastain. They felt that a show about the rise of online extremism and how that translates into real life violence shouldn't come out this week in light of recent events, quote. Charlie Kirk. So they decided not to release the show, and that they only announced that a couple of days ago, right before it was due to air. And Jessica Chastain, who stars in the show herself, came out to be like, that's the decision that Apple TV made. It is not the one I would have made. I'm not happy about this. Here's why. So they're kind of, I don't know, I just feel like, I think it's reductive to just get rid of it indefinitely, because that's the problem. They've said it's indefinitely been postponed. But when is going to be the right time? Because every month you could point at something else that falls into that theme happening, unfortunately. So at what point do you say, okay, we can put it back on air? It sounded good too. I really wanted to watch it.
Do you care that House of Guinness is historically inaccurate?
I mean, I wasn't watching it to find the history of the Guinness family. I haven't watched it yet.
Will you watch it?
I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of allergic to most period drama.
Oh, sure.
I'm pro them.
Shame on you.
Especially Downton and like...
Bridgerton. You're not even a fan of Bridgerton.
Is that the one with Shaggin?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Downton with Shaggin, basically,
no.
Yeah.
No, I haven't
watched it. Like Game of Thrones was to Lord of the Rings, Bridgerton was to Downton.
That's a very good comparison. Yeah. Did you see that for House of
Guinness? Not so much like sibling on sibling love, but, you know... You can't have it all, I guess.
They have subtitles Os Gaeilge for House of Guinness.
Oh, do they?
I'm very pro. I'd watch purely just for that, just to be able to put that on.
Yeah. Anyway, we were talking about it earlier in the show, which is why I ask. People are very exercised about it. I don't think I'll watch it either. I didn't like Peaky Blinders. This is the guy behind it. Thought it was kind of naff.
Are you bothered by the historical inaccuracies?
No, because The Crown had full loads of historical inaccuracies. Oh, yeah. And
did it? What?
And it was just engaging for a while. It kind of fell off
it
the
cliff
as well.
Small,
but, you know, it's entertainment. I think people get their knickers unduly twisted about these type of things.
I probably would watch a documentary about that, but I'm not sure. And look, maybe it's amazing drama and there is a lot of Irish people in it who we've spoken about. So I hope they all get all the awards.
Pity they didn't make it here. Made it in Manchester and Liverpool to look like Ireland. Anyway, Ger Gilroy from Off the Ball, Saoirse Hanley, features writer with the Irish Independent. Thank you both. Have a good weekend. Same to everybody at home. Off the Ball are up next. There will be updates throughout the evening, of course, from the Ryder Cup, from Beth Page. I'll be back on Monday at 4.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.